Hey, we are back for the Blaze. It is episode 18 already as the team gets set for a couple of games on the island. It's the Blaze for Warner Rentals, located in Kamloops, Princeton, Salmon Arm, Scotch Creek, and Revelstoke. Warner Rentals providing high-quality projects with high-quality equipment since 1975. The promise has always been to ensure you get the right equipment for the job. Welcome to the Blaze, presented by Warner Rentals, John Keene and friends. And boy, that was quite the weekend we had here in Kamloops, a double dip against the Tri-City Americans. Friday night, the loss, 8-2, bit of a shocker, bit of a maybe even a reality check. We'll break down that one here coming up a little bit later on. But that was followed by what was an amazing comeback win. Amazing victory. 3-1 down and then 5-3 down all in the third period to come back, tie it up late. Logan Stankoven in overtime. And it had me thinking of a top five movie quote for me from Dumb and Dumber.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself.
Yes, that's what it felt like. Totally redeem themselves. Love that quote. And boy, it sure felt like it's Saturday. What a ending. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss a whole lot more here coming up. Ralph, by the way, from Warner Rentals, who was on the show last week, he predicted the comeback. He texted me before the start of the third period over from his box, and he nailed it big time. He nailed it, although he didn't predict two-goal comebacks. But I guess we won't hold that against him. I've been teasing that we were going to have a CHL broadcaster on from a top team in the CHL, and we'll deliver that this week. Gareth McDonald will join us a little bit later on, the play-by-play voice for the surging Halifax Mooseheads, unbeaten in 19 straight in regulation. They jumped to number 4 in the top 10 rankings this week. He'll break down the queue for us and talk about some teams we could see here in Kamloops. Coming up at the end of May for the Memorial Cup. Fan mail and buying and selling, that'll be a lot of fun this week as well. Stick around for those two features later in the show. Let's get into it. It's the Blaze for Warner Rentals. It's the opener for River Shore Golf. Opener for River Shore Golf Links. General Manager Kevin Oates, he must be back from Mexico. He must be, because I'm not getting any more pictures from the golf course down there. So must be back here in the Kamloops weather here. And River Shore Golf looks like the weather turning cool again in a few days. But in no time, we'll be talking golf. We'll be playing golf. River Shore, usually the first course to get things up and going in the spring. Okay, Friday night. Lot to think about in that game. And I think Sean Clouston summed it up the best in a recap on Monday. He said, hey, the puck wasn't going in easy for us, but it was going in easy for them. And I think that was a big factor in the game. Blazers had over 50 shots. Tri-City was opportunistic. They score 8 goals. Most Blazers have given up on home ice this season. And I want to credit Tri-City. That's a different-looking team from the first two meetings down in Tri, where the Blazers breezed to 6-1 and 7-1 wins. They have Jalen Lipan now back in the mix. He hadn't played this season, coming off injury. So that's a bit of a different-looking team with him in the lineup. That's a big team. That's a team that'll be a tough out in the playoffs. And Tri-City trending towards being in that 4-5 bracket for the playoffs. And right now, if the playoffs were to start tomorrow, we'd be playing the Everett Silvertips. And Tri-City might be a favorite in that matchup. They're a team that's starting to get things all together. Also, they were healthy. That's their complete squad. And they have Thomas Sukanek in goal. So that could be a tough out for sure in the playoffs. So we put that aside. And the Blazers, they definitely needed that rebound win on Saturday night. And it's a game that I'm calling a game of the year at the Sandman Center. I don't think I was, overshooting my shot on that one or outkicking the coverage. I definitely thought it was. The way they came back down 3-1, 3-3, and usually when a team is able to, answer right back like Tri-City did, it's curtains. It really is. But they finally got the power play going, the 5-on-3 goal, the 5-on-5 goal, off to overtime. They had to kill that penalty to start overtime after getting through the final, 22 seconds of regulation. They get through that kill, and then boom, they can throw out Stankoven, Zellweger, Bankier, and they made some magic for a great finish in the end. Also, Monday, we had a bit of a bad news setback on forward Jakub Demick, who we were all hoping to see this weekend in Victoria. That was sort of the timeline. But we had an update from head coach GM Sean Clouston on Demick's new timeline.
Unfortunately, he's got a while. He feels good. He looks good. You know, I think there it's probably a situation where they really want to, you know, be safe. They really want to take their time. You know, fortunately, our league goes till the end of March. He's a drafted player, and they want to push his timeline back. So it's going to be right now the date. Unfortunately for Jakub, because he's pretty disappointed and challenging for us, it's been moved to February 20th.
So that puts Demick now into the Eastern road swing through the Central Division. That will begin February 17th and take you all the way through the six teams out there. So we look forward now to that for Jakub Demick, who has been practicing, looking good, and the guys are all excited to see him play as well. Top prospects game, Wednesday night in Langley. And I thought there was a really interesting top prospects peer survey that they do every year to the players coming in to play the game. They ask the players the toughest player they've ever played against. And Logan Stankoven finished in a tie with 5 votes for the top player that's toughest to play against. Arbor Jacki, a former Kitchener Ranger, also got 5 votes. Now, that truly is a tough player to play against. Maybe that's what maybe some of the OHL players thought the question was. Jacki now doing his thing with the Montreal Canadiens. But 5 votes for Logan Stankoven. I always say the best way to gauge another player is to ask his peers and ask those that go up against that player. You know, I've heard a lot of you know, that on both sides. I've heard, but yeah, I really like this player. What do you think of him? And then some of the players will tell me, nah, I don't think so. But truly, there is a, you know, a peer sort of recognition for Logan Stankoven. Olin Zellweger also got 1 vote as well. That's the opener for River Shore Golf. Okay, it's on the move for Thompson Valley Charters. Thompson Valley Charters, your ticket to travel and adventure. Lovers of the open road, let's get out and explore once again. TVC offering multiple bus routes to destinations across BC and Alberta, including Edmonton. Thompson Valley Charters. And Roger, he's been on the move here big time. He texted me. He was back in the rink after attending a convention in Florida. So he was back watching the Blazers this weekend. He's our on-the-move guy here right now for sure. And we'll have to give Thompson Valley Charters maybe a new segment here. Trade deadline's over. No more movement expected. We could see the odd player, you know, bumping around a little bit. But the Blazers are on the move off to the island today as you hear this podcast Thursday. Pair of games against Victoria. The Royals starting to get some results. They're tied for the last playoff spot with Kelowna. Kelowna holding some games in hand. It's back off the island Sunday. Teams can't get off the island Saturday night from Victoria due to a lack of a ferry service. So Sunday's always a travel day back. We'd like to play a Saturday noon game or a Saturday 2 o'clock faceoff in Victoria. Let's make that happen. Get everybody off Saturday night. You're back home. But instead, team will travel Sunday. And then it's back Wednesday at home for a matchup with Portland. 4th and final meeting and maybe a playoff preview possibly. Everyone thought that last year that Kamloops and Portland were destined for a second round matchup. But, wait a second. Vancouver Giants. Yeah, we'll just knock off Everett here, okay? Be the first 8th seed to ever do that. And that kind of threw the wrench into the plans. But I would say it'd be a hard time this year avoiding that playoff matchup. So you got Portland, and then you're home for a couple of games. You go to Vancouver. You see Prince Albert. You see Saskatoon come through. Hopefully Josh Piller is back in the lineup coming off injury. And then it's out east to the Central Division to get set for that 6-game swing. So on the move, Thompson Valley Charters. All right, it's feature interview time for Mitchie the Kid at Kamloops Ram, who was a vehicle for you. From trucks, Jeeps, SUVs, and cars, he's got you covered at Kamloops Ram, located on the Trans-Canada Highway on Frontage Road. And for Mitchie the Kid, this is also a bit of a around the CHL feature, two birds stoned at once, as Ricky once said. And a good chat with Halifax Mooseheads broadcaster Gareth MacDonald. As we break down the QMJHL, I admit, do not know a lot about the Q. There's some top teams over there. We'll get into it, the top 10 afterwards, a little bit later on. But my conversation with Gareth MacDonald for Mitchie the Kid at Kamloops Ram. And we catch up with Gareth MacDonald, and you might recognize the name. He's been on Radio NL the past month, calling Canada's World Junior Games out of Halifax. He's also the voice of the red-hot Halifax Mooseheads and joins us on the line for the Blaze. Gareth, I know that life's been a whirlwind for you, but you finish up a great World Junior experience, and now the Mooseheads are rolling here. So it's been a while since you've called a loss, I think, hasn't it?
You know what? It has. I guess there was the Boxing Day loss for Canada, but yeah, I mean, on the Moosehead side, it has it's been a while. It has been a while. I'm trying to think now. I think there may have been one back in mid December, but yeah, the losses right now for this team, they are few and far between.
That's great. That's a great way to be. It's a great way to live for sure. 19 straight unbeaten in regulation, 17-0-2 as we chat. And Halifax is bumped up to fourth in the CHL top 10 rankings this week. So let's learn more about Halifax. This is the team that we could see in our city here coming up at the end of May here. How does Halifax get it done, Gareth?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's an interesting year for the team, because I think if you were to look on paper at the current roster that they've got, you know, you've got Zach LaRue in there. He's a first round pick, obviously first round talent drafted by the Nashville Predators. This will likely be his final season with the Mooseheads. It could be Cam Wynot's last season as well. He's a third round pick of the Calgary Flames. But I mean, this team, it really is kind of built around the 18-year-old and 17-year-old age group. Those, you know, Jordan Dumais, Marcus Vinicek, Matthew Katafor, Jake Furlong. That's kind of the core, I would say, of this team. So, you know, on paper, it probably makes sense for next year to really be a real go-for-it year. But, I mean, at the same time, I think if you look at just the composition of the Q right now, I think heading into the year, we knew that Quebec, Patrick Waugh, he was pushing his chips in. He was all in this season. But in the Eastern Conference, you know, there really wasn't, you know, a bona fide number two, like a team that was really going to be pushing outside of the Mooseheads. So I think in a way, Cam Russell, the general manager of the team, is hand, I don't want to say forced, but, you know, I think you look at the current setup, and I think he said, you know what, we've got to make some moves here. So he went out and addressed a weakness, brought in two of the best 20-year-old players, the best overagers that were available, and Josh Lawrence and Alex Doucette. You know, those guys, they've come in, and you know, they've both been fantastic. I mean, both guys right now averaging about 2 points a game. Josh Lawrence was acquired back on November 28th. That was the day after the team's last regulation loss. So they haven't lost in regulation since he joined the team. Alex Doucette hasn't lost in regulation either. And those guys, you know, that they bring some veteran experience to a team that, like I said, already boasted the likes of Zach LaRue and Jordan Dumais, Marcus Vinicek, Matthew Katafor, Dylan McKinnon. I mean, the list kind of goes on with this team, but those guys have certainly come in and they've been fantastic. And you know, the Mooseheads have certainly been getting some great goaltending as well. Matthias Rousseau, I mean, you touched on the World Juniors off the top. This guy, I think that this guy might be the next Thomas Milic. He's a guy that's likely going to be passed over in another NHL draft. But if you look at his numbers, this guy's numbers are, you know, they're off the charts. He's leading the league right now in wins. He's been fantastic. So just a whole lot going right, I guess, to answer your question.
Yeah, and thanks for nailing some of the names that have been dotting the score sheet. You mentioned Jordan Dumais, 82 points, which is the most in the CHL, even more than Connor Bedard here out west. Alexander Doucette, 36 goals, leads the league for Halifax right now. So you know, there's some firepower there, I think, that can push you through. But you make a great point, the fact that they're built around the 17 and 18-year-old age group, that's a pretty good spot to be in when you're already pretty good and knowing that next year could be a good year as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's just a team that, you know, will have the pieces in place to try to make another run at it next year. But I mean, right now, yeah, things are definitely looking pretty good this season as well. I mean, they're on a pretty historic heater. This is the best stretch in the history of the franchise. They just surpassed this past weekend the former longest stretch. I believe it was 17 games that the 2012-2013 Mooseheads, they went on a pretty good tear. That was a team that was voted as, I think, one of the best teams in CHL history a few years back. That, of course, had Nathan MacKinnon, Jonathan Drouin, Zach Bucalli on it. But, I'd say there's some other things probably at play as well. You look at the Maritimes division that the Mooseheads, where they play here in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, and you know, full transparency, it's definitely a little weaker than it has been in the past. Certainly a lot weaker than last year, because you had three of the top teams in the league last year, in the St. John Sea Dogs, the Charlottetown Islanders, and the Acadie Bathurst Titans. That was kind of a real go for it year for those three franchises, just because, I mean, the Sea Dogs were hosting. You get that extra team from the queue, so they kind of pushed their chips in last year. So they're kind of in the midst of a rebuild, as are the Cape Breton Eagles. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, the Mooseheads, they just showed that, you know, that they can certainly hang with the very best teams in the league, and then some, at a great homestand with the Quebec Ramparts in town. They beat them in a 2-1 in a shootout. They were able to kind of beat up on the Sherbrooke Phoenix pretty good, 6-2 win against Joshua Waugh's team. So, it's been a lot of fun. I got to tell you that these guys they're definitely rolling right now, and everything just seems to be going right for them at the moment.
Our guest is Gareth MacDonald. He's the play-by-play voice for the Halifax Mooseheads, also called the Canadian World Junior Team Games here on Radio 1L, actually, from the Maritimes there. I have to ask you about the conference rival. I guess if you want to get to the league final, you got to get by the number one team right now, and that's still the Remparts. You mentioned Patrick Waugh's team, ranked number two in the CHL. They've been sort of in the top three all year. Are they the big juggernaut, do you think? Is that the biggest thing standing in the Moosehead's way?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because they actually, and you're putting me on the spot right now. Maybe I'm putting myself on the spot by bringing this up, but I think once you actually get to the semis, they changed this a couple of years back. I believe you do reseed.
Oh, wow.
In the semifinals. Huh. So it's possible that the Moose wouldn't have to face Quebec until the final round, the President Cup Championship round. So, we'll see how that all shakes out. But obviously, if they're to stay where they're at right now, these two teams, they are 1-2. Again, at some point, they likely will need to go through Quebec if they want to see the Blazers in Kamloops. But I mean, that Quebec team, they're absolutely loaded as well. They're pretty stacked. I mean, they've got a lot of depth, especially down the middle. You look at that center position. They've got Theo Rochette playing at center on their top line, along with Zach Bolduc, who's a first-round pick at the St. Louis Blues. He's a sniper, and Rochette, certainly a playmaker. Those two have been clicking all year. Rochette's, I'd say outside of the guys that the Mooseheads have in Doucette, and Josh Lawrence, definitely – he's right there as one of the top overagers in the queue. And you know, you get him on your top line. And then down the middle on that second line, Nathan Gauthier, who, of course, was so hard to play against for teams that had to face Canada in the World Juniors, was a big part of Canada's success at the last couple of tournaments. And one of the other moves that Patrick Waugh made during the trade period, one of the big moves, was bringing in Justin Robida from Val-d'Or, and he's a Carolina Hurricanes prospect, the son of longtime NHLer Stefan Robida. And he's when they were in Halifax, he was playing down the middle on the third line. So that was quite a 1-2-3 punch for Patrick Waugh's team. So they've got a lot of depth, certainly, up front. They've got some great goaltending as well all year from another Russo. The Mooseheads have Matthews. They've got William in Quebec, and he's been fantastic this season for them. So too is Quentin Miller, younger guy, rookie netminder, but he's been great in a backup role this season. And their blue line, not too shabby as well. Evan Nass right now out of the lineup, dealing with an injury, but he'll be back in the not-too-distant future and joins a pretty talented back end there with Quebec. So, yeah, no easy game, certainly, against the Ramparts this season, as has been evidenced here by the schedule so far.
Yeah, great breakdown of an opposition team. I'm impressed for sure. Gareth, should we be focused on the Sherbrooke Phoenix? They jumped out to a really good start out of the gates in Quebec. They're in the Western Conference. They're still a nationally ranked or CHL-ranked team. What do we know about Sherbrooke?
Yeah, I mean, Sherbrooke has, they've got a lot of high-end weapons as well. And I think what you got to like, and I'm not sure where he found the time to do this. Stéphane Julien was an assistant coach with Canada. He was on the bench. He's also the head coach, though, of the Sherbrooke Phoenix, and he's the GM as well. So I would say December, with that Canada camp going on and obviously the pre-tournament play, busy little month for Stéphane Julien, but he still found a way to get some tidy bits of business done. I think there were a few areas that he really wanted to touch on and address. And I mean, it was basically throughout the lineup, and he made some big time moves and very solid in my mind, brought a little bit of stability to his goaltending position, bringing in Olivier Adam from Baie-Comeau, just kind of a veteran netminder and one of the better goaltenders that would have been on the market. And you know, he joins a team now that also acquired Marc-Andre Gaudette, who's a St. Louis Blues prospect, was a big part of the Acadie Bathurst T-Town success last season. Veteran defenseman, plays a solid two-way game, can quarterback the power play, so that was an area of focus and an area of need for them. They bring him in, and then you've got Jacob Melanson, who's just, he's a kid that I've seen play minor hockey for years here. He's a Nova Scotia kid. He's a Seattle Kraken prospect, and he's a nasty piece of business on the ice. He plays with an edge. There's not a lot of guys that that play like that these days. Just real gritty. Loves to get net front. Great, you know, net front presence on the power play. Loves to crash and bang. Kind of one of those guys that still, I think, sparks a little fear, instills a little fear in the opposition. And again, just a real hard guy to play against. So he'll be a big part of any success they have in the playoffs. And then they also brought in Jakub Brabenec, who was a former Charlottetown Islander and a guy that was a part of Charlottetown's solid run last year, helped them all the way to the final against Shawinigan. So he's a guy that kind of plays a solid two-way game, but can certainly chip in a little bit of offense as well. We saw that with Czechia at the World Juniors here in Halifax. So some really solid moves. You bring those guys into a team that already had World Junior Team Canada players in Joshua Waugh and Tyson Hines, and just a real solid group. So Sherbrooke, whoever they face in the playoffs, they're definitely – they're going to be a tough team to try to pass there, to try to get through in the playoffs when they start up.
Yeah, just some great perspective on, you know, for our listeners to, you know, have some sort of, you know, peace of mind of what the teams are out east in the Quebec League here. Gareth, you, of course, called the World Junior Games, and you had some of these high-profile World Junior players involved in massive moves at the trade deadline. So you probably had one ear and an eyebrow raised to some of these moves here, but the big moves that were made in the Western Hockey League involved World Junior players. I'm talking about Olin Zellweger. I'm talking about Zach Ostapchuk. Did these big moves, did the ripple effect reach all the way to the East Coast as far as some of the prices that were paid?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, the Zellweger ticket was one that people were talking about out here for sure. But, I mean, what a player. Unbelievable. He was so impressive to watch and such, I suppose, such an anomaly, really, in the way that the Team Canada blue line was built. And, of course, he was such a big part of Canada's run and success in Edmonton back in August. But, you know, just kind of, and I guess what I mean by that is just, I mean, you look at some of the monsters that they had on that back end, and then you have Zellweger, you know, 5'10", 182, smaller guy, but boy, can he play. And he was just, he was so, so special to watch, just a guy that played in every situation for Canada. And you felt good. You could tell that, you know, Dennis Williams, he was kind of just that, I don't know, safety blanket, I guess. And you throw Zellweger out there at any point in the game, and you immediately felt reassured, especially in some of those overtime situations. So, no, it's he's a huge ad, certainly, for Kamloops. And I'm sure you've been having as much fun watching this guy in action as I did last month.
Yeah, 5-point game there on Saturday night, set up the game winner in overtime to Logan Stankoven here. So, you know, one of the roles of the host team is to have a good squad. And I think that's why, you know, you see the major move at the deadline, not taking anything away from Ryan Hofer, also part of that deal with the Everett Silvertips. But if I was to throw out, the Blazers have Logan Stankoven, Olin Zellweger, and Caden Bankier, I mean, does that raise an eyebrow as a host team that might be, you know, formidable in the Memorial Cup?
Oh, I'd say for sure. I mean, yeah, it's those are three very impressive players. And obviously, I mean, let's face it, Bankier didn't quite get the opportunity, I'd say, to showcase himself the way that those other two guys did. He was kind of in, you know, a smaller, more limited role, I think, kind of going into the event. You know, I think we saw Bankier and more of that, you know, kind of 10-13 forward spot. I mean, he was certainly solid in those penalty kill situations, did bring a bit of offense. There were some good looks, I thought, when he was out there at times. But again, didn't quite get the minutes there. But when he was out, he was definitely noticeable. So I enjoyed watching him. And I mean, what can you say about Stankoven? I mean, he was just unbelievable. I think it was Brennan Othman who had referred to him as the pit bull. And everybody we talked to about that, you know, said that was just a perfectly apt description. I mean, just such a hard guy to play against. He never takes a shift off. And just another guy that can just play in any situation. And I mean, that line with Bedard and Joshua Waugh, just so much fun to watch. And just, you know, watching the way that Stankoven would hound the puck, but, you know, you get to see the creativity as well. And, you know, get to watch him click with those two. That was an absolute blast. So, I mean, those are definitely three very formidable players. And no doubt that anybody that's got to go up against those three, that's not going to be a very fun time.
Gareth McDonald is our guest, Halifax Mooseheads play-by-play. Gareth, I guess, I know you have a busy schedule, and I know that you got some side gigs like everybody in radio does, and you just called the World Juniors, but could I interest you in 10 days in Kamloops at the end of May and the beginning of June? How would that sound for you?
That would not be bad. You know what? I've never been out to Kamloops. I would love to be there. So hopefully we're making that track with the Mooseheads. It would be a lot of fun for sure.
All right, Gareth McDonald, I'm here's hoping. I'm gonna, you know, put my Mooseheads foam finger on here and root you guys on from out west here. So hey, thanks for being such a great guest on the Blaze, and I look forward to meeting you in person. Hopefully that comes up here at the end of May. Appreciate you doing this for us.
Yeah, no problem. Fingers crossed. That would be great. No, appreciate you having me on. Thanks a lot. And hey, enjoy what should be a fantastic second half for you guys.
Okay, so you heard Gareth talk about some of the teams in the queue, and that's a great segment into Around the CHL. For Hydra Power Wash Mobile Pressure Washing Services, they service the BC interior and specialize in heavy equipment and fleet washing, moss removal from roofs and roof washing. Hey, this spring might be a great opportunity to actually book a house washing. With all the forest fires and the smoke the last number of years, Hydra Power Wash can accommodate that. That's something they offer. And they also do exterior window cleaning. As the weather warms up, it's time to start thinking about some of these things you need to do around your house. And you can contact Christopher, friend of the show, at info@hydropowerwash.ca. You can call or text him, 250-851-1072, and find them on Facebook, Hydra Power Wash. So the top 10, we just broke down some of the Quebec teams, but the Winnipeg Ice remain the number one team in the CHL. with 33 wins, coming off back-to-back wins over Moose Jaw. Never easy. In fact, Moose Jaw's beaten them twice in regulation and Moose Jaw. But Winnipeg holds serve on home ice. Quebec Ramparts, you've just heard about them. They're at number two. They beat Baie-Comeau 11-2. Patrick Waugh, by the way, won his 500th game as head coach in the queue this past weekend. When I was like a little kid, I was really hard on Patrick Waugh. But wouldn't that be something to have him behind the bench at the Sandman Center with the Ramparts? Seattle Thunderbirds, still at number three. Two wins this past week at home over Lethbridge and Everett. Halifax Mooseheads, just heard about them. Number four ranked team. Ottawa 67s, the top OHL team. They do drop a spot, though, to number five. They won just once in three games this past week. Still, though, the top team points-wise in the OHL. The Portland Winterhawks have been bouncing around a little bit. This week, they climbed to number six. They're on a lengthy homestand, and they've been picking up the victories. We'll see them next Wednesday after the weekend. Sherbrooke Phoenix at number seven. Windsor Spitfires at number eight. The OHL team scored 19 goals in three games this past week, but only won two of three. And the North Bay Battalion, a 30-win team, ranked number nine. Blazers, they dropped to number 10 this week, still in the rankings after going 1-1 against Tri-City. They dropped from 7th to 10th, but still nice to see Memorial Cup hosts, a host team in the top 10. It's been a rare feat the past few years. On the move for our friends at Hydra Power Wash. Okay, let's get a little bit spicy here. Let's get at some buying and selling for Kyle Panasuk at Royal LePage Westwind Realty Kamloops. Trusted real estate services you can count on. And I'm sure they're not exactly counting on the Bank of Canada, who raised interest rates at other quarter point this week. So I'm not sure if that's slowing down things or not, but it's making life maybe a little bit more difficult for realtors across the city. But Kyle Panasuk can guide you through that at Royal LePage Westwind Realty. Buying and selling. Okay, I've been buying lots lately, so let's sell a bunch of things this weekend. Let's just sell it all off, okay?
Sell.
I need to have a quick drink here. Yeah, the throat and the tea trying to get along here today. Again, with this ongoing whatever it is, into week two, week three here. Okay, I'm selling.
Selling
the Canucks coaching hire of Adam Foote. Big sell job on this one. Big sell job. Adam Foote had a real rough year in the WHL back in the 2019-20 season that he didn't even get through. He was let go. And a big reason why he was let go, let's revisit that game. You know the game. January 11th, 2020. That Blazer team that year, by the way, such a good team. Like Zane Franklin, Connor Zary, who's competitive as anybody. Montana Onyebuchi, one of my personal favorite guys. Max Martin on the back end, Josh Piller. And I just watched the highlights of that game. Do yourself a favor, go back and watch the highlights of that game. January 11th, 2020 in Kelowna. That team had it all. And oh yeah, the 16-year-old first-year players in that team, Logan Stankoven, Caden Bankier, Matthew Semenov. And of all the teams the Blazers have put together the last 4 years here in this run, that one might have been the team.
Bye.
They had it all. Strong goaltending with Dylan Garand, who was only 17 at the time, but was the number one guy. The pandemic took that all away. I would have loved to see how that team would have worked out. It would have been a tough fight all the way to the end with some of the teams in the BC division that year. Everett was having another strong season. But you go back to that game. We're on the subject of Adam Foote, by the way, just a reminder. First, Blazers were up like 6-2, third period. First, Zane Franklin and Matthew Wedman scrap. Montana Onyebuchi and Dallin Wilton go at it. And it was like the Rockets had had enough. And the Blazers aren't innocent in any of this. Like Zane Franklin would go by the Rockets bench and say his piece and really get under the skin. He was the best at that. Or the worst at that, whatever way you want to look at it. And it led to that 6-on-6 brawl. Remember? 6-on-6 brawl. Adam Foote dispatched four defensemen and one forward late in that game. And I'm going to take you back now. The story I don't think has ever been told. And I think we're through the statute of limitations now on it. So we're late in the third period in Kelowna. And Tim O'Donovan's the, at that point, he wasn't assistant GM, but I think director of hockey. And he sits sort of on a row below me in Kelowna and to my right. And when Kelowna put that line out, I didn't notice anything. I mean, I didn't really pick up on what was going on. I had Dan DePalma with me that night, thank God. And Tim turned around right away and looked at the WHL supervisor, officiating supervisor, just above him in a booth, which I am right beside that, the official supervisor who sits in the video replay booth. And Tim said, he goes, "You know what's going on here right now, right?" And I was kind of looking like, what's this conversation about? And he goes, "Tim, you see what's happening, don't you?" And I kind of looked over at the video replay booth, and there was no expression on their side. And sure enough, puck drops. It is an all-out brawl. Foot sent those guys out there for that only reason. The goalies were going at it. Bazarin skated across the ice and had to go with Garand. But that was totally on the coaching decision at that point. And again, I'm not going to say the Blazers were innocent in this because they had their guys yakking all game, yakking all season, and they really went after Nolan Foote as far as trying to throw him off his game, and did a really good job of that. But that was the coach's son. Remember, the captain was the coach's son, which is another what's going on here at the major junior level. And so there was a brawl. And Dan DePalma's with me, and he's getting really excited. He takes off his headset. He is pointing over at the Kelowna Rockets suite or their box up there too, and he's having words, and he's going at it. 20 seconds later, I hear a slam. The door slams in the press box, and that's Bruce Hamilton. He's out. He's seen enough. He knew. He knew that wasn't a good look. He slammed the door, was upset with probably how they're going to look and how this is going to wash out. And he was right. And at that moment, when I heard that door slam and I knew the reaction from the Rockets side, I knew. And this is like my narrator voice from, like, you know, Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption. You know, he narrates the whole movie. And it's like, and at that point, I knew that Adam Foote would no longer be the head coach of the Kelowna Rockets. That's my Morgan Freeman. That's my Red from Shawshank Redemption. Sure enough, 2-3 weeks later, out the door. Gone. And Foote was trying to fight the Blazer coaching staff that night too, like back in behind the dressing rooms there, or back behind the benches there. Like, it was ridiculous. So league has a look at everything. They fine Kelowna $3,000, I think it was. Blazers got a fine of about half of that. I just never had any good interactions with Adam Foote. Just post-game scrums. There's no eye contact with any of the reporters. And just how he came about from getting that job from behind the scenes. Like how he all of a sudden swooped in there on Jason Smith, too. And I got some friends on the Kelowna side, too, that didn't really have a lot of good things to say either. It was a bit of a mess that year. Chris Millett pulled it out of the fire big time, I thought, when he was named the head coach. They were rolling. They got back into, you know, a good groove. Team was responding to Chris Millett, and, you know, the pandemic, of course, came, and the rest is history. So Foote has been doing some media work in Colorado, which is kind of hilarious, I think, because the whole time he was in this league, he acted like he was above the whole media, above it all. But, oh, I need a job now. So, yeah, now we're friends. Not buying it, but I'm selling that. I'm selling the whole situation.
Sell.
There with the coaching staff and an assistant coach. Selling it. All right, so let's move on. Let's take a breath. That was a long one. That was a long sell job. I'm also selling.
Sell, sell, sell.
If you're a person like banned from commenting on like a team Facebook page, or you've been like blocked, I'm going to say that's probably on you. Like, that isn't on the team doing it. You're obviously, or have, you know, taken things too far at one point. And I think if you're like a fan or you're just trolling, you got to kind of take a look in the mirror and be like, yeah, this is on me. So I'm selling a person that's been banned from commenting or on Twitter there for sure. Selling this Jakub Demick timeline.
Sell, sell, sell.
Selling it. Really wanted to see him back this weekend. I really did. It's too bad. I have to wait till now mid-February. I'm buying. Let's buy the great crowds at the Sandman Center.
Buy, buy, buy.
It's been awesome. It's been great. Over 5,000 both nights against Tri-City. That's tough to do back-to-back nights when you have two games for a fan to choose from. Sometimes they only go to one of them. But the season ticket base is so strong this year. And just the buzz around the team. And I know, I heard there was a lot of people talking Monday about how great that game was. And if you left early from that game Saturday night, you're hearing it from everybody. So I'm just buying our fans. They've been so awesome this year. That building's been amazing. And, you know, as a broadcaster, when the roar gets up, you know, I can really kind of surf it a little bit. I call it surfing the crowd. When you can kind of bring up the crowd volume and you can kind of play off of it. As a broadcaster, there's nothing better. I'm buying Bruce Boudreau.
Bye, bye, bye.
Boy, did this guy have Vancouver media wrapped around his finger this past, well, a couple weeks. Like, Vancouver media is ready to run through a wall for Bruce the last couple of days there. You know, and he came out and he was sad and, you know, he shed a tear and, you know, he was behind the bench and he saluted the fans. He nailed it. Like, I mean, this was a masterpiece by Bruce Boudreau. Not saying it was not genuine. I'm not saying that it was not genuine, but the way that he went out, he nailed it. Like chef's kiss. Like, oh, way to go, Bruce. So I'm buying Bruce Boudreau and how he handled it and how he had everybody coming out of his palm, just feeding from his palm this past week. Random quick buys here. Rapid fire. Tri-City Americans like the way they played. And think they could be up for bigger things here.
Buying
Peter Angell, GM of the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Chatted with him on my other podcast. Go find it. It's WHL This Week. Pete's a great guy. Good guy. It's buying and selling for Kyle Panasuk, Royal LePage, Westwind Realty, Kamloops.
You've got mail.
Okay, fan mail, yes, and the fan mail is for the Mattress King, voted number one furniture, number one mattress store in Kamloops. Why would you pay retail? Why would you do it? Come see the Mattress King, new location 421 Mount Paul Way across from Rona. I'm not sure that Aaron for the Mattress King has ripped through at 10 grand just yet that he won at a 50-50 there last week. And last week I was complaining that the mailbag was a little light. We were through the trade deadline. We were through, you know, all the drama. And the mailbag this week is full. It is full. On Twitter, John Keen NL Sports, where you can find the thread. And let's get to some of these questions. Thomas Close at Tom 22, a bunch of numbers there. Tom asks, Ernst has not looked as sharp lately. Would this maybe be time to go with an even split between him and Keeper and have Ernst more rested for the playoffs? I agree with you, Thomas. Ernst hasn't, you know, been the goaltender that we saw earlier in the year. We talked about how that save percentage at one point was .932, and I thought, well, that's a little unsustainable, and I think it's dropped off to around .917 or .916. And yeah, I think a goalie is going to go through this. Unless you're Dylan Grant, you're going to go through a slump at some point. And I think we're seeing that right now with Dylan Ernst, but he'll find it. He'll find his game again. Better to go through this now. He'll go to the island. He's played well in Victoria in the past. He'll get a shot there. But yeah, Matthew Keeper, good on him. He's come in 2 starts, 2 wins. And he's a guy the Blazers are trying to build up as well. So I like where the tandem's at right now. I'm sure the overall thought is they're giving up too many goals. And they are. There was a stretch of 12 straight games back in October, November, where they allowed 3 or less in 12 straight games. They got to get back to defending a bit better in front of these guys as well. So yeah, will we see more of a 50-50 split? Not sure. But allow Dylan Ernst to find his game that we saw back early in the season as well. Matt Pynchon at Pynchy_24. If you had your pick, which 3 teams would you like to see join the Blazers in the Memorial Cup? Well, I have to say Halifax now. I have to say Halifax in the queue after having Gareth on. That sounds like a fun team. The Mooseheads, they're a cornerstone franchise in the CHL. So bring on the Mooseheads. From the OHL, maybe Kingston. That's where Shane Wright is. Kingston Frontenacs. Or, you know, how about the Ottawa 67s? They're the top team right now in the OHL. Another cornerstone franchise. Has been good and been around the mix for a lot of years. So Kingston, Ottawa, and Halifax. That'd be my guess. A WHL team? I mean, I don't know. I would like to see a team from the East. And I'm sure a team from the East would like me to hear that as well, because if the Blazers somehow win the West, then that team from the East is automatically in. So that's what I'd like to see. Kyle at KD9512. Thoughts on Harrison Brunick's game? Seems like he's moved up the depth chart past couple of weeks. There was actually a game Blazers dressed seven defensemen, and Apo Sorrell was feeling ill, so he didn't play very much. So it looked like Harrison had jumped up and was playing, you know, in the top six and getting a regular shift. That's maybe what you're referring to, Kyle. But to Harrison continues, yeah. I mean, this is what we want to see. 16-year-olds continuing to get better as the season goes on. After Christmas, you look for that jump to happen. And we're seeing it with Harrison. We're seeing it with, you know, Ryan Michael. Even with Apo, we're seeing that as well. So, yeah, Harrison continues to trend upwards. And that's exactly, as a major junior hockey team, what you want to see. Jared Berentret at JBearTweets goes, what are you looking forward to the most on the upcoming Eastern road trip? Well, that's an easy one, Jared. It's always the game back in Swift Current. That's where I was for a long time. I think I did, I don't know, 9 or 10 seasons there with the Broncos as their play-by-play guy. Still a lot of friends there. Like going back to the old rink. The ladder to the press box always gets a bad rap, but hey, I love it. That's the highlight. And for me, one of my friends there does some of the graphics for the scoreboard, and he sent me the layover on the scoreboard for when the Blazers are there. I had the Blazer logo beside the Broncos logo, and that got me excited. So, yeah, that's number one what I'm looking forward to for sure. Carter at Carter_Grice goes, didn't really understand why Kiefler was moved off the top power play unit. Goes, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. I've said that a few times about how effective Dalen Kiefler is on the power play. Ryan Hofer moves into that spot net front presence. They have another net front guy coming in Jakub Demick soon. But for me, the power play, and I said this on the air a few times, the power play for me goes through Dalen Kiefler in front of the net, whether that's taking the eyes away from the goaltender or deflecting, redirecting pucks. No one does it better than Dalen Kiefler. That's his office in front of the net. So maybe the second unit or 1A, 1B, they get an opportunity to do that a little bit more. But for me, the perfect sort of setup is Zellweger getting shots through, getting that quick release, using that quick release, and Kiefler getting his stick on it somewhere in front of the net. It's a good point, though, for sure. Ronald on the res at Res Ronald. Boy, he tweets a lot at me during the game. It's like a nonstop commentary. Ronald, appreciate that, though. He goes, how often does the host of the Memorial Cup win the Memorial Cup? Well, it happened last year. St. John's Sea Dogs, they were out in round one of the playoffs. They lost in the deciding game in overtime. Then they went to work. They hired Coach McDougall, and he led them to a Memorial Cup tournament victory. First time since 2017 when Windsor won it. Shawinigan pulled it off in 2012. Last WHL team to win as the host, Vancouver Giants, 2007. Kelowna Rockets also did it 3 years before that. But the last WHL team to win a league title and then also win the Memorial Cup, that was right here. That was in Kamloops in 1995. Lots of questions this week. Double question from at Moffitt Zach. Zach Moffitt and Cam Survey, Scott Rhodes. They want to know more about the Blazers. What did they learn in the back-to-back games against Tri-City? What adjustments do we see? And how much do you chalk up that game last Friday as something to worry about or a learning opportunity? Kind of a double question. Hey, again, I've said it in the show already. Tri-City is much improved. But that said, Blazers need to defend better. And I'm sure that's what they're working on. They need more saves for sure than they got this past weekend. It's a combination of a lot of things, but I think it's Tri-City being a team that's healthy and playing their best hockey of the year. I think they have points in like 9 straight games. And the Blazers needing to shore up some things in their own end and needing a few more saves. At Jeffrey Andreas, Jeff Andreas, can you see a world where Stankoven goes back-to-back as CHL Player of the Year, or should we just give the trophy to Bedard? Yeah, you probably just give it to Bedard this year. Based on, you know, what he did at World Juniors, even though it's not supposed to factor in to the CHL Player of the Year, he still represents the CHL at an event like this. But here's a dark horse for that conversation. Jordan Dumais of the Halifax Moosehead leads all players in the CHL in scoring. He's 18 years old. He's a guy. He's a name. But yes, I would think, Jeff, be really tough for Logan to win back-to-back CHL players of the year. Even last year, I thought they would go to Connor Bedard. He's a bit of a poster boy for the league. And Logan is still 18. But Logan has a point in every game he's played this year. And he is, I think he's climbed up to fourth in the WHL scoring race. That's a good question. I would think, you know, with all due respect to the OHL, I would think Bedard, Stankoven, Dume would be in that conversation. Justin Jackson at Justin 1 Jackson. Why have the Rockets had declining attendance in 5 of 6 non-COVID years? And he says, I remember their hit piece on the Blazer attendance about 7 years ago will always make me mad. That wasn't a Kelowna hit piece. That was a Global Okanagan 2017 total hit piece. A video journalist by the name of Travis Lowe. Remember that story? Middle of the playoff series. And he was taking runs at the Blazer attendance. And wonder if he circles back 6 years later and looks at it now. But yeah, that's not on the Rockets at all. But when it comes to declining attendance, it's simple. I mean, winning is 80 to 90% of your marketing product. Your winning team, fans come. Start to lose, fans go away. So they haven't really had the results in Kelowna, for sure. But once they come back, once the results come back again, fans come back as well. And we hope the Blazer Nation can, you know, maybe ride out what might be a bit of a rebuild here after this season. Goalie for beer at C. Ladosky 94, friend of the show. He goes, not sure if you noticed, but which NHL team seem to have their regional scouts at games the most? He says the WHL seems heavily poached by 5 or 6 teams. Do you feel the WHL is maybe overlooked by some teams? And I tell you, this year, there's no overlooking the WHL. As many as 9 first-rounders might come out of the WHL from this 05 age group. Better pay attention. And I know what you're getting to, Christopher. You're talking about the Canucks and loathing their lack of WHL picks. I know everybody talks about it. They passed on Logan Stankoven, and that seems to be a sore point. The Canucks seem to love Sweden and, you know, drafting out of there. So I don't know. I think there are some teams that maybe with an American general manager have a more philosophy away from what the WHL does. They might focus more, you know, U.S. high school or national development program in the U.S. or NCAA. I think there's something to be made on that. I love the Vegas Golden Knights at the draft table. They mine the WHL. They go right at it with Kelly McCrimmon there. Not only do they draft WHL, but in free agency, they heavily target WHL players. I love the fact they do that. And that's because their general manager knows what he's getting when he steps into the realm of drafting players from this league. But to answer your question, Christopher, I'd have to take a closer look as far as, you know, what teams have picked from where. But you bring up a good point. And that's an extended version of fan mail for the Mattress King. Okay, we haven't left a lot of time for closing remarks for Pleasure Pools Plus, where you can check out their massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, and Sundance spas. They do hot tub repairs, service, and advice. Talk to Len Serry and their staff today. Pleasure Pools Plus, thanks to Blazer alumni Len. Okay, things really escalated quickly this week in fan mail and buying and selling. Keep the comments coming here and the questions. It's always a great interaction. Love all the feedback on the show and the questions you provide. Blazer look ahead here. Victoria this weekend. Blazers have really owned the Royals, but last time to the island, they only won 1 of 2. Victoria's playing some better hockey. They've got themselves into a spot, into a tie for the final playoff spot. They're getting healthy, although they've been missing Braden Sherman and Gannon LaRocque the last couple of games. They're on the injury report. Blazers will get back home. Great game coming up Wednesday against Portland. They host the Prince Albert Raiders on Friday. Into Vancouver next Saturday. Host Saskatoon, host Prince George, and then it's on the road for that central swing. It's that time of year where we're starting to pay a little bit more attention to the standings as well. Hey, that's the show again. You can always tweet at me, John Keen, NL Sports. We take your feedback on email, johnkeen@hotmail.com. No H, John, J-O-N-K-E-E-N. It's The Blaze. It's every Thursdays where you subscribe to your podcasts, and every Thursday and Sunday on Radio NL. Go out this week and do something that totally redeems yourself. That's my advice. That's the episode. Join us from the island for games Friday and Saturday on Radio NL. Have a great weekend.